Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning, family. I apologize, but I don't know what's going on. It took me forever to get into Blog Talk this morning. Welcome to the love journey. Yes, welcome to the love journey, where there's a message from the soul. Yeah, they call it the prayer line, and yet I call it an experience.
Wow.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Love Journey. Welcome to the Love Journey. They call this a prayer line. I promise you, it's an experience. It's a love experience. Welcome to your new day where all things are washed away. We are about to go into the most important place of all places to be, which is within ourselves. And as we tune in to the most important part of ourselves, which is the mighty I am consciousness, the I am that I am, the greater version, the champion inside of us right now, we're going to recognize this power, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this whole universe. And as we recognize this one power and one presence, known by many names, as we recognize this great spirit, you know, in this line we call it God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. Let's just give thanks as we just turn into the power, giving absolute gratitude for the power and the presence that is within each and every one of us. As we tune into the power that is each and every one of us, just simply say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And as we move into this place of love and light, knowing that there's not a spot that this love and light is not, love and light is not. We just know that God is. As we take in a deep breath this morning, taking in all of the love and light, and every breath we take amplifies more of the love that our God is. Taking that breath, the breathing in through our nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, releasing through our mouth and remembering to breathe deep into the heart and breathe deep into the diaphragm, remembering that God is. Remembering that God is. And don't forget to breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Let's take in that deep breath right now. And release. God is. Be still and know that God, that I am God. Breathe and release. Be still and know that I am, that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. The last time. Thank you, God. Let's breathe. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Divine Mother, Father, precious, infinite intelligence,
infinite wisdom, the one that is the one. Come, Holy Spirit. I come before you today speaking from the transcending power of the greater version of my I am, that I am consciousness, my higher self. I come as I invite and invoke the presence of my God, Goddess energy in this right now moment. I give absolute gratitude, thanking you, Holy Spirit, as I ask that every word of my mouth come, Holy Spirit. Every meditation of my heart, come, Holy Spirit, will be so acceptable in that sight. I come, Holy Spirit, asking you to remove every human-created thought, every human-created ego. Come, Holy Spirit, and every human-created space. I ask you to remove all of me in this right now moment, Holy Spirit, that I may come empty, God, that I may come so empty and be filled by the presence of you in this right now moment. Come, Holy Spirit, that my words will be your words, God, and my thoughts will be your thoughts, God. Come and let's raise the vibratory energy of this call, God, that we will invite and invoke the presences of all the mighty I am consciousness, all the angels, all the archangels, all the unseen presence into this call in this right now moment. God, I ask you to come and rain down your love upon us right now, God. I'm asking you to open up your windows, your doors, your gates, your heaven, God, and pour down a blessing upon us that it won't be room enough to receive it, God, as we rise in our consciousness, expanding our awareness in this right now moment, God. Oh, I'm asking for a fresh anointing upon us right now, God. Oh, God, I'm asking you to cleanse every area of our body, God, that remembers anything other than the truth, God. I'm asking you to cleanse every cell right now, God. Oh, any behavior, any pattern, any data, any information that is stored inside of us that remembers anything other than the truth, that we are perfect, whole, and complete as we are in this right now moment, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, as I ask you to bring fresh revelation, new wineskins, God. Oh, pour your fresh oil upon us right now, God. Oh, giving you all the gratitude in the world, God. Thanking you for this opportunity to come together in one mind, one spirit, God. Thanking you for the opportunity to come together in this one love, God. I'm asking you to open up your windows and pour your love upon us right now, God. Oh, shower down, God. Let's make manifest the glory of you right now, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking for your blessings right now, God. Oh, I'm asking you to thrust us into our place of blessing right now, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come right now and shower down your love, God. Shower down your blessings, God. Oh, I'm asking for your blessings of healing right now, God. Somebody need a healing in their body today, God. Oh, somebody need a healing today, God. Somebody came with a mind to be blessed today, Holy Spirit. Oh, and I'm asking you to speak to their hearts, God. Speak to their minds, God. To their life, God. Oh, come, God. In the mighty, powerful name, nature, and consciousness of your Son, Christ, I say, come, Holy Spirit. And let's make manifest the glory of you in this call on this day, God. Oh, as we turn all of our burdens, all of our yoke over into your hands, God. As we allow you to lead, guide, and direct us today, God. Oh, because we know you are the ruling power, God. And all we do is simply surrender to the direction that your melodic sounds of your still small voice will lead us. As we give gratitude, we say amen, and so it is. And so it is. Whew. Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. Good morning to the sun, the moon, the stars. Good morning. Whew. To the land and the soil the flowers and the trees, the birds and the bees, clouds. Good morning to everything in the universe, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning to all that is. The earth, the wind, the fire, the water, the ethers. Good morning, universe. Good morning as we invite and invoke our angelic family. Good morning, angels. As we also command our angels to go forth and lead us in this day, that they will pave this day with ease, elegance, and grace, that they will go before us, and everywhere we tread, our feet shall be on gold dust, family. Go, angels, and do your stuff. As we invite and invoke you into our life, into this call, into the presence of this right now moment. Good morning, angels. Good morning, archangels. As we invite and invoke your presence into this right now moment. Good morning, angels, archangels. Good morning, master guides and spirit guides. As we invite and invoke our spirit guides and our master guides. Good morning to our ascended masters. Good morning, ascended masters. I didn't forget you. As we invite and invoke your presence. And good morning to our ancestors. As we stop in this right now moment to say, thank you, ancestors. As we speak the name of those who have gone before us, to our known ancestors that we know, that we love and cherish the very essence of them, we say good morning to you, Miss Anastasia McAdoo. The love who sent me and used her body as the vehicle that sent me to the planet. Good morning, Mom. Miss Colette Grant, good morning. And to all our unknown ancestors, good morning, ancestors. Good morning as we invite and invoke your presence, as we stand here and pay homage to you, thanking you for the legacy and the sacrifice that you left called us. Thank you, ancestors. As we invite you into the presence of our life. Thank you, ancestors, for all that you did. And as we stand here, we also send love into those who will come behind us. Good morning to our descendants, and sending love into our descendants. Oh, family, you're tuned in to the Love Journey. Yes, this is the Love Journey. And I want to say good morning, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning to the gods and goddesses. Peace, peace to the kings and queens. Love, love to the millionaires and billionaires. And all the new authors and inventors and entrepreneurs and all the great ideas that will be coming, emanating from each and every one of you. Good morning, my family. Yes, I'm looking forward to some great things that will be coming forth in each and every one of you. Good morning, good morning, good morning, family. What a great day that we've been given as a gift today. What a great day to open the present of the day. Knowing that God's love is all there is. Wow. It is so amazing to know that God is all there is. Sometimes we get caught up in the seemingly appearances of things, but we know that God is. Even if you're short in the seemingly appearance of your finances, we know God is. If something is showing up in your body, we know God is the healer of all great things. And that healing presence and that power is given to us within us today, family. What a powerful way to start your day. Reverend Ike always say how you start your day is how you live your day, family. Wow. How we start our day is how we live it, family. Well, family, we're going to get started. We're going to talk about Jesus today, family. Yes, 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 on this Christed season. Because the real reason for the season is the consciousness. What a consciousness are we in this beautiful season that I so love. I'm going to play a little Christmas song while I get ready. Y'all know I got to do my little Christmas song while I get ready. My Favorite Things by The Whispers.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I love Christmas. I love the season. I love it because it just reminds me of love. It reminds me of giving and receiving the cheer and the love that's in the air of, and people smiling. And I don't know, it's the one time of the year that it feels magical. Yes, it feels magical. All right, family, that was Whispers. That was the Whispers, My Favorite Things. And that is who, one of my songs that I love. Because, you know, it's many people who did My Favorite Things, and I have it by almost everybody. Oh, my God. I have that song by so many people. Because that's one of my favorite songs, My Favorite Things. All right, family, we're going to get started because today we're going to talk about Jesus. And nothing like the name Jesus, the miracle working power of the consciousness of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about that wedding feast miracle, family. I was listening to an audible book by Napoleon Hill called How to Prosper in Hard Times. And they talked about the consciousness. And our consciousness is what we have to be really, really, you know, we got to watch out for what we allow in our own awareness. Because this, we are such powerful people. And we don't, I mean, we're not even touching a tenth of the power that we've been given. Because the word tells us that all the things that our brother Christ did, Jesus, all the things that Jesus did, we could do, and even greater. That right there has always been something that intrigued my mind. It's what made me study Jesus, because if Jesus can turn water into wine, if Jesus can take five loaves and two fish, and the word says that Janine and Ingram can do it too, what kind of consciousness did Jesus have? What kind of manifested consciousness did Jesus have in order to do that? And that's been my thought, family. We often been led to believe that most of Jesus' miracles were just healing. But see, I also find it exciting that two of the earliest most miracles that Jesus performed was lack into abundance, family. Lack into abundance. Jesus' first private prosperity miracle occurred just before he called Peter, James, and John to be his disciples. Remember, after they had fished all night without success, he manifested fish for them in such abundance that they had to ask fishermen in a second boat to help them bring in the catch, and both boats nearly sank with the abundance of it. As a result of this demonstration of increase, Peter, James, and John were so impressed with Jesus that they unhesitatingly left their boats bulging with a superabundance of fish and went off to understand and work with Jesus. This story is found in Luke 5, 1 and 11. They soon witnessed a number of healing miracles after following Christ. You see, a law is a principle that works. It is a rule of action. An early explorer of nature's laws was the brilliant scientist Sir Isaac Newton. He once said, there's one set of natural laws for the physical world, and there's also a higher mental and spiritual law that those usually use on the physical plane of life. The higher and mental spiritual laws are so powerful that they can be used to either multiply, neutralize, or even reverse the natural laws. He said, now this is a scientist, y'all. I want you to hear what this scientist is saying. He said the spiritual laws can be so powerful that it can be used to multiply, neutralize, or even reverse a natural law. It is when these higher mental spiritual laws are invoked through the mind of each and every one of us, through humans, that they can often produce results that seem miraculous on the physical plane. See, Jesus understood the higher laws of the mind and use them constantly to meet the needs of the moment. Let's talk about that for a minute, family. Let's talk about that for a 1 minute. Now, I want you to think about that. Sir Isaac Newton, that was a quote from Sir Isaac Newton. And you know, scientists has always told us in a lot of scientific ways that we came from the evolvement of the monkeys and all that stuff, right? You understand that. We don't have to get into all that. Now, this is a scientist saying when we invoke the spiritual law. So Isaac Newton knew there was something greater than the physical plane of life. Now, if we invoke our spiritual law, and this is the thing that I always want to repetitively remind you, you are a metaphysician, you are an alchemist, no matter what the seeming appearances are. You can be in the midst of a situation, I don't care what it is, and you can invoke the spiritual law, and it will instantly change. I mean instantly. If you get still, I don't care if you're in the midst of an argument. I don't care if you're in the midst of a financial something. I don't care if you whatever's going on. You can get very still and change the very atmosphere through invoking the spiritual law. So you hear me this morning, family. You are amazingly powerful. See, the word adapt means to make suitable by changing. To change without difficulty, to adapt to change or to bring into harmony. See, Jesus invoked the law of what they call of adaptability when he performed the wedding miracle in Cana. There he turned ordinary water into the fineness of wine. See, Jesus invoked a powerful mental spiritual law. As you take these same mental actions, we can experience change without difficulty. We can bring harmony with greater good in our life when we know than we have ever known before. See, when we use these laws in a way that can be so powerful, we can call and invoke a miracle into our life. Step one, let's talk about it. When a need arises, the first thing people want to do is what? Panic, family. Well, I come to tell you, when a need arises, that's when we need to get into the default of getting still, family. Don't panic. See, Canaan had a prosperous setting. It was located about 7 miles from Nazareth in the midst of an abundant pomegranate and olive groves. It is fitting that the very first public performance of Jesus' miracles occurred at a wedding, because a wedding was an experience in abundance. You see, in the Oriental countries, the wedding was an event of great importance. It was lavishly celebrated. In wealthy families, the wedding festivities could last as long as 7 days. The Jewish people were known for their profuse hospitality, and even among the poorer class, a wedding celebration could last 1 or 2 days. At this wedding feast in Canaan, it was very embarrassing when the wine was suddenly exhausted, and Jesus' mother Mary pointed out to him by saying they have no wine. Now, many preachers teach Jesus' disobedience to his mother, but it wasn't a disobedience to his mother. Jesus understood divine timing. And what was Jesus' response? My hour is not yet come. That's not a disobedience response. What Mary and Jesus understood, there's a divine timing to everything. So I want you to think about the divine time. That's what that was about. It wasn't about disobedience. A lot of preacher teaches disobedience, but that was not Jesus being disobedient. He was letting his mother know, give me a minute and let me get myself into the space that I need to be in order to perform what you're asking me to do right here. Here's the first step in mental action that we should take. When there's a need to be met in our life, we need to immediately bring our attention, either through people or circumstances, into our own awareness. We need to get still. Like Jesus, we should not rush forth to make it right in the outer way. You should work it out in the inner planes of consciousness and in your thought and in your feeling nature first. See, you got to raise your consciousness. In order to do or perform or turn water into wine in your own life or even to change a situation, we got to get still and raise the vibratory energy. And Jesus knew that he was not in the right frame of mind. He had to raise his consciousness. My hour hadn't come, I had to get myself ready to do what you're asking me to do. I got to go in and hear Jesus knew it would take a little time for him to turn ordinary water into fine wine and to rush and to force and to coerce in a place of realm is not a part of what we understand as prosperous thinking. So you can never demonstrate abundance in a rush kind of energetic. You can never demonstrate with a force and coercion. It will only dissipate your good. Have you ever been around somebody who anxiety and want to rush and make something happen and it just takes you off your square? That's not the kind of power that's going to perform a powerful miracle. No, I promise you. It's going to dissipate your good. In the spiritual realm, there's no rush. In the human sense, it may take a little longer when you're working with the spiritual laws, but you got to understand, when the results come, it'll be so satisfying and enduring. We have to learn how to get still, family. We got to learn how to work with these inner laws. Again, when a need arises or something comes in your seemingly appearance, our job is not to panic. Our job is not to rush or coerce, but to get still, family. Call forth that inner higher power that knows all, that understands everything, to lead and to guide you and to move in divine timing, family. You cannot force your good. You cannot force anyone else's good. When Jesus' mother said, when Mary said they have no wine, he replied, my hour is not yet come. His refusal meant that when one is praying for divine guidance, they cannot go into action until they are directed to do so from within. Regardless of what people about you are saying or doing, there's a divine fulfillment for every need. Let me say that again. There's a divine fulfillment for every need. But it cannot be coerced. Even though he recognized the lack, Jesus was yet not prompted to act from within. He knew one's good cannot be forced. Zeal that is not tempered with wisdom only leads to confusion. When a need appears, take note of it, then begin to work within your thoughts and your feelings to meet it there first. If you immediately rush forth to try to fix things up in an outer way, you will only meet with confusion. And confusion leads to an illusion that you just don't want to have in your experience. There's a famous saying, there must be an in-working before there can be an out-working. When you're being pressured by negative appearances, you might respond, I am listening to the voice of truth, which does not yet bid me act. Or it's not my guidance to do anything yet. I feel it is best to wait for further sign, even though Jesus recognized the lack, Jesus was not immediately prompted to act. Neither should you allow yourself to be pressured by the seemingly appearance of lack. Instead, declare, that is a rushing spirit, so I will act when I am prompted to do so from within. And begin to do the work of the inner presence. Sometimes it's not a need that appears on the scene to be met. It may be a possibility of new good trying to come into your life that gets your attention. Again, if you immediately rush forth and try to force that good into expression, your experience may come in a form of an abortion. Your desire good dissipates because your zeal carried away, scared it away. I want you to remember this. Where there's no hope that ever stirs within you, but that God has the actual fulfillment of that hope for you, but in his own time and in his own way. Prophet Khalil Gibran wrote in his book called The Prophet, you are like an ocean. And though grounded ships await the tides upon your shores, yet even like an ocean, you cannot hasten your tides. Even if your good is there for you lying quietly in the distance like a heavily grounded ship that awaits the tide, you cannot hasten your good. Instead, you have only to get ready inwardly and be prepared outwardly for what that good in order for it to come into your life under divine timing. The thing we have to do is speak our words. You see, it was appropriate that Jesus' first public prosperity miracle took place at a wedding because weddings are considered a prosperous experience. There were 6 water pots of stone at the wedding in Cana. Jesus told the servants to fill those water pots with what they had on hand, which was water. And since everything was done on a liberal scale at a wedding, the servants filled those pots to the brim. I want you to get ready for the good that lies at a distance by meeting the situation now at hand with whatever you have to work with. Those 6 hard, rough, stony water pots symbolize the hard, rough conditions we sometimes have to meet in life. However, you have already on hand what is needed to meet that hard, rough conditions of life. Whatever you have in hand, meet the problem. It's all you need is by beginning to meet that problem. See, Jesus had nothing but ordinary, common water to pour into those rough, stony water pots, yet he instructed the servants to pour forth that water abundantly. The transformation of water into wine symbolizes the rich gift that a loving father, a loving parent, a loving consciousness has for each and every one of us who are willing to draw forth from that abundance out of the realm of universal substance, from the invisible store of the unlimited supply through the action of our inner work. You see, family, no matter how you want to play this game of life, it's an inner game. Life is an inner game. And we got to learn that it's all inner working. It's all within us. The extent to which nature is prepared to make the transformation from lack to abundance is indicated by the pots being filled to the brim with water by the servants. After Jesus spoke to them, it is significant that Jesus performed this prosperity miracle at Cana because the word Cana symbolizes the power center in the larynx, our voices, our throats, which is released through the voice of spoken words. You too can perform your first public miracle for all to see when you go to Cana, which is what? To use your power center to speak your words of abundance. To do so can overcome all kinds of things in your life. See, the 6 jars will hold an abundant amount, about 100 gallons. Your thoughts are your servants. Let me say that again. How many of us really act like our thoughts are our servants? How many of us are monitoring the servants of our mind? You know, it's like you being a CEO. What you are, your CEO. And it's like going within and watching the servants who serve you in your mind. Are you watching your employees in your thoughts? We have to monitor what is going on in our mind. When I find myself thinking about something that is not my business, just like the other day I was in meditation and I started thinking about my girlfriend, her son. I'm like, oh, that's not my business, honey. Get out of there. This is not yours. Thank you for the thought and release it and move back into yourself. This is your time, your thoughts for you. I was thinking about my daughter. Oh, get released. Love you, honey, but I got to get back into myself. Sometimes you got to get into your own self. Sometimes you will find your mind drifting into other things, other thoughts, other conversations. And sometimes you'll find yourself so concerned about somebody else's business that you need to get out of there. And I have to tell myself constantly when I'm still in myself, get out that business right there. I don't have nothing to do with you, Janine. Send in love and come back to you right now. Send them love and come back to you right now. Being a life coach, you know, you get a lot of calls sometimes from people being in places, and sometimes you get caught up in that, in the energy of it, and you have to release it. And sometimes I find myself thinking about people, and I have to send love and let them go and go back into myself because this is the time to fill myself up. You got to watch your thoughts. Sometimes I even find myself thinking about stuff, and I had to tell myself, no, that's not a thought that you want to have or bring into your experience. I monitor my thoughts now. I actually monitor my thoughts, And I pray to catch every thought that I no longer want in my experience. Sometimes we could think about a thought that unconsciously don't even remember the last thought we had because we're too busy with not really paying attention to the thought. Our thoughts are our servants. The water poured into the pots by the servants is symbolic of the thoughts and words of life. See, truth and abundance that you can pour forth on your conditions of lack and limitation by transforming them into condition of abundance can be done by the words that we speak, by the thoughts that we keep. You must pour something into the appearance of light before you can get anything out of it. We got to pour our words, pour our thoughts, and get it into the feeling nature. And it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. No, it don't mean a thing if you don't get it into the nature of your feeling energy. See, once you get it in the thoughts, once you got it in the words, then you got to get it in that heart space, baby. That's why it's so important. That's the key. That's the key to manifestation. Let me tell you, the key to turning water into wine is right here in the heart. You got to feel it. You got to give thanks. You got to marry what it is you want to bring into your experience. That's what I was going to tell you. I didn't even get to that point when I was listening to the book, How to Prosper in Hard Times by Napoleon Hill. It's got a lot of authors, James Allen, and many of them. And one of the things they said, you got to marry abundance. Come on, somebody didn't hear me. You got to marry your healing. You got to be married to the idea of what it is you want to bring into your experience. You got to get it into the feeling nature. See, we have to understand this, and this is the one thing we have to know. You already have on hand what you need to meet the demands that are made upon your life. Your good is already there. This is one of the greatest secrets we can learn. By treating what we have as already as the desired supply, meaning they had water and they gave thanks for the water and treated the water like it was wine, that it was so powerful in that process that the water turned into wine. Come on, y'all. How many of us look at our spouses and say things to them that we don't want them to be? Well, I want you to think of them as water and turning them water into wine. And speak to them as if they was already the wine. Think of them as if they were already the wine. How many of us, our children, are not necessarily on the track that we want them to be? Think of them as already being the wine. Look at your money supply and think of it as already being the wine. Not the water, but the wine. The water represents what we're looking at, family. So here, the good you have on hand is all we need. All we have to do is begin appreciating it and using it. The good you have may be nothing more than the use of your constructive thoughts and words. Sometimes all we may have is our words and our thoughts. And sometimes that's all you can use. But begin to use them. See, Jesus always took the materials at hand, such as they were, and used them. Think about it. Jesus never got anything that was not in hand. When he was even out there in the park, I assume that, you know, they was out there with the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish in this beautiful, lustrous park. And the disciples kept telling Jesus, tell the people to go so they can, because we cannot feed the people. It's not enough food here. But it didn't move Jesus at all. Because Jesus took what was at hand. When the wine was no longer, it didn't move Jesus because Jesus knew all we have to do is take what we have at hand. He took the water. And we can also can meet whatever seeming appearance in our life by meeting with what we already have. See, our Creator, the Most High God, will help us when we make the start in faith. It has been proven through the ages that faith can move systems to prosper and bless the one using it. When we put into action, there's power, there's prospering power in the word faith. There's prospering power when we have faith, family. Jesus took what was on hand, those water pots and common ordinary water. These two ingredients was all that he had to work with. Yet he produced a miracle of abundance. He told the servants, symbolizing our thoughts, to pour the water into those stony pots. And they didn't pour me egg water until it was to the brim, baby. It was spilling over. It was so much. You can take your circumstances and bold conditions and your bodily conditions and your human affairs. Let me say this again. You can take your rough circumstances, situations that are in your body, your human affairs, just as they are, and hold them in your mind and begin to praise them right now, Father God. Oh, begin to praise what's going on in your body right now. Begin to praise your spouse right now, your child right now, your financial situations. You can turn that water into wine by blessing it and giving thanks to the all-providing creator that's within us, that is the wine of peace, that is the wine of health, that is the wine of success in this right now moment. It is always by divine right. It is our divine right, family. So if there's any conditions at your hand that you got to work with, all you need to do right now is perform your miracle. Treat the available situation with the supply that you have at hand as the desired supply, and it will become so. What is that saying? What am I saying? If you there's some dis-ease or just something in your body, call it forth right now and bless your feet of understanding. Bless your knees, your legs, your thighs, your hips, whatever is going on in your body. Bless it. I don't care what the seemingly pins. I don't care if you had it 99 years. Get into the feeling nature and bless it. And then don't bless your body and then go smoke a cigarette. Don't bless the healing presence of your body and then go do something that is not good for your body. Family, bless your body, your money, substance, family. I don't care if you on what they call a fixed income, because that there ain't no such thing as fixed income when you understand that your source and supply is God, the good, the omnipotent, who owns every bank of the universe. When I get up in the morning and I look at my bank account, I don't care if it's in the minus, in the million, or whatever it may be in. I bless it because I know I don't bank at Chase. I bank at the Bank of the Universe, family. And I call forth my money every day. I bless my money every day. I look at my app. I open my app and say, thank you, God, for the money substance that is flowing in and out, that you give me the opportunity to be a blessing to those who you send my money to, God. And you allow me to circulate the blessings of my money. And I give thanks for anybody, God, that decides they want to bless me, that I ask that anybody that blesses me, that you bless them a millionfold. Anybody give me any money, I bless that money and I pray over them every time. You know why? Because I know there's power in blessing. I know there's a power in blessing. And anytime anybody give you anything, it's a blessing. And I bless the person who blessed me. Because let me tell you, and I'm not going to get into it, but there was 7 gifts that was given to Abraham. And one of the gifts and blessings that was given to Abraham, that anybody that blessed Abraham will be blessed among blessed. And so I ask God for that same blessing. Anybody that blessed me, that they will be blessed among the blessed. That they be so blessed, God, that the blessed would even call them blessed, God. That's what you got to do, family. You got to get into blessing your money substance. You got to get into blessing your body situation. You got to bless your children even when they're not showing up like you want them to show up. Because you remember now, they came here to be the expressions of God too. So even though they came through us, they still got a life and they still got lessons and they still got roles they got to go through in order to become the highest and best good that they came on the planet to be. And so you just bless them and see them the way you know they came to the planet to be, which is mighty in the land, virtuous in the planet. Come on, family. We got to start seeing it. You're not seeing it, family. I can tell by the words that you say when you call me. I know that you're not seeing it, family. When you wake up and your husband is acting crazy, just bless him. Your wife saying stuff because she's in the mood, just bless her. See them as the wine already manifested.
Okay, I'm going off on the tangent. You see, these conditions is all we have to work with. Then all we need to perform is the miracles is already what we have. You may be thinking, but there's nothing on hand. Which to meet this? Oh, yes, there is. There's always. Take the thought, the idea, a Bible verse, a prayer statement, a passage in an inspirational book that appears, and begin meditating and declaring it in the name of Jesus. Bless and praise what you have regarding your abundance, and instead of condemning it as lack, see it as plenty. Call it forth. Take the circumstances of your life just as they are. Take the people in your life just as you find them. Take your home as they are. Take your bodily health just as it is. Take your business affairs, your financial matters just as they are. And take your personal dreams, your professional hopes. And take this period of life, whether you regard it as young, old, or somewhere in between, just as it is, and start right now, fam. And imagine the stony water pot. And begin pouring into them the highest and the best ideas you can hold about them. Begin to praise your dreams. Begin to bless your children and what you have previously condemned. There's multiplying power. Let me say it again. There is multiplying power for your good when you bless your good. It can be released through a simple process. One of my favorite books, Khalil Gibran, said, "If it is an unjust law, you would abolish that law was written with your own hand upon your own forehead." Meaning, if you got unjust things happening to you, it's because you written it. So shall it be written, so shall it be. Meaning, you written it in the thoughts of your mind. Do not reject your good just because it's not in the form you would like it to be. Treat the available marriage as though it was the desired marriage. Let me say that again. Treat your marriage. Some of us are married to people, and we are in unhappy marriages. And I want you today to treat this marriage as if it was the best thing ever happened. Some of us are in unhappy marriages to ourselves, to our body. Treat that body as if it was the best body you ever had in your whole life. Begin to love and cherish the very essence of your body. And you know if you're loving and cherishing your body by the things you say to it, by the neglect, by the food that you put in your body. What food? Are you putting too much sugar? Some of us may be vegans, but we still put too much sugar in our body. Some of us may be vegetarians, but we don't eat enough vegetables, enough green, enough life, food with life in it. Are we drinking? All of us need to drink. I don't care what kind of food processes, you eat vegetarian, flexitarian, meatitarian, whatever you are, do you put enough water in your body? Do we breathe life into our body by breathing properly? Do you know you can turn an acidic body into an alkaline body just by breathing properly? Anything, there's nothing that can live in an alkaline body but the truth. Cancer can't even live in an alkalized body. Family, are we breathing properly? Are we eating properly? Are we drinking the water that needs to be profusely in our body? Of course, the better the water, the better the opportunity. But if you don't got nothing but none of no kind of water but the regular water, bless that water and turn that water into the best water and drink it. Family, it's time for us to use our spiritual tools. Treat the available people in your life as though they were the desired people. Treat the available circumstances as though they were the desired circumstances. Treat whatever supply that you have in your hand as the desired supply. As you adapt this way to both the seen and unseen good, the desires of your heart will begin to materialize more and more as your result. You may say, but it is unjust to have to deal with these people. You may say these circumstances in my life may cause me so much worry and concern. Even in the book, the prophet, it said, if it is a care you will cast off, that care has been chosen by you, whether opposed upon you. Even the law, meaning anything that you have brought into your experience is what you have written with your own hand upon your own forehead. You say, you decided to marry this person. You decided to work this job that you don't want to go to every day. You decided to bring all these things into your experience. So treat these things as if they were the available experiences you want. You know, I always like to think of it as a fairy tale.
Create your own fairy tale life. Life's so amazing that you live in a fairy tale life. Yes, and it will become a fairy tale. Trust me. People say, oh, Janine, you got the best this and that. Oh, I just love how Brent loves you. Girl, y'all don't know what we went through to get to this point. And I had to keep seeing it in my mind's eye. Even when I dropped in my own consciousness, I had to raise my own consciousness, even for myself, because sometimes I didn't show up properly. Now, you know that wasn't right, Janine. And I had to see myself being what I wanted to be in return to him. I had to see my children being what I want them to be, seeing my husband to be what he wanted to be. I had to see my family being what I wanted them to be in order for them to live up to that expectation. Girl, how your children doing? Girl, they are living their highest and best. They doing good. They doing good. They doing good. Sometimes they don't recognize their virtue, but they're getting closer and closer to understanding that they are the mighty people in the land of this, whatever I may want to say. But we have to learn how to speak the things we want to say about our children. We have to learn how to speak. I don't care if you're just living with somebody. I know some people live with people and they're just doing things, and some of it is just a roommate situation because they're not happy no more. But even in that situation, see that as a beautiful marriage. See him proposing to you. See her saying yes to you. Get your business in order. See y'all and stuff getting together and see it being what you want it to be. Because you really wouldn't be there if you wouldn't really, really didn't want to be there. So you're there for a reason. Bless the relationship, family. I don't care if you still live with your mom and you're there with your family and your family house. Some people live with their family. I got a girlfriend live in Chicago. She called me. She moved in to take care of her mom, and she's not necessarily in a place that she want to be. But I told her to bless that house. Take that house and bless it and fix it up to the way that you would want it to be fixed. Fix your space up as if it was the palace. And remember that this is an opportunity to spend some great time with your mother before she leaves the planet. Or before you leave the planet, whoever leaves first, because we don't know. But start blessing our situation as it is. Start blessing. And let me tell you, family, no matter where you are in this life, invest in you. Every day, you should have a portion of the day that's invested in you. We got to start investing in ourselves, family. There's no better investment than an investment that you can invest in yourself. A portion of your money should be invested in you, whether you invest in every time I think about how I'm sending my money out, a portion of it is to my tithes and things I'm going to give to people. But there's a portion that everything I do, I'm giving a portion of myself, my money to myself, meaning that there's going to be a return in my investment. So when I got into my travel club, I knew that I was investing in me because there was going to be a return on my money. Then when I do other things with my money, there's a return of an experience in my money, meaning things that I buy, like shoes, clothes, or for good, you know, things that I want. Or when I invest in my things that I've already used, like my light bills and gas, I bless it and I give thanks for the opportunity to send it out. But when we start setting things up where there's such a portion of it to be invested in our day, our money, our time, there's a portion of your time that should be invested in you, in your day. In a 24-hour period, there's a portion of that 24 hours to just be about you. Just about you. Just about you, whatever that may be, whether it's sitting in the grass, meditating, whether it's sitting on the rocks, looking in the sun, whether it's just sitting still in your car, whether it's going to have lunch. So many of you are always having your lunch on the run because you're working so hard, and I know I used to do that. I wish I knew what I knew today and was conscious of it because it's not good for you. I would go the whole day sometimes, not even eat, so caught up in the work. And not that my employee expected, it was just something that I did. And when I think about it, I could have been way more productive if I would have took some time during the day of my lunch break and stopped and breathed and just send love into myself and just ate and chewed my food and not rush through my food but enjoy the opportunity to experience my food. Now when I eat, I experience my food. I don't rush through it anymore. Some of us are holding weight on because we rush through the food and we rush to eat it and we don't enjoy the food and we don't experience our food and give love and marry the idea of just being there present with our food. Feminine, we got to get invested in ourselves.
It's time for us to get invested in ourselves. We got to take stock of the inner abilities, our outer supplies. And even though you may be inclined to say there's not enough to go around, not enough for you perhaps, but there is enough for everything that is spirit to go around. And since everything is made out of God, everything is made out of spirit, and since substance is the body of God, there is enough divine substance to go around too. So do not turn away from your good just because it does not appear in the form you think it should. Instead, treat everything, family, anything that's available to you as if it was already what you want it to be, and it will become so. It will become so. That's why in the word it says, let the weak say they are strong. It says, let the, I am healthy. You see, at the wedding, it was of great importance that when the servants poured water into those pots, they filled them, not halfway, not toward the top, but all the way to the brim. When you are pouring forth your good words, such as those of healing, such as those of abundance of love into situations, hard conditions, and attempt to produce good results, when you are using other invisible methods in effort to produce visible results, remember that you got to persist in using your method until you feel the situation to the brim, family. Don't give up. Don't stop halfway, as many people do, and then erroneously say it doesn't work. See, if you work it, it'll work. But it only works if you work it, and you got to keep being persistent until you feel the brim. You got to keep working it until you see the breakthrough, family. You got to keep working it until you see your good coming forth in the situation. See, this is what it takes to produce a miracle, God. You got to get down sometimes. You got to get down and get down. Sometimes you might have to get down on your knees like Lattimore and say, Lord, have mercy on your child. Have mercy, God. And you got to pray and you got to push and you got to push and you got to keep speaking those things until you see it in your own mind's eye, family, until you see it coming into the visible world. You got to keep pushing, family. You got to praise your world as the perfect creation of divine substance, that you see more health, God, that you see more wealth and happiness in your world than you ever have seen before. God, that works in me to will and to do whatever God wishes to do. Come, God, because there's no failure in spirit. There's no failure in God. Family, when those hard, stony pots have been filled to the brim, Jesus then instructed the servants to do what? Draw out what they found in the water pots and take it to the steward of the feast. Upon tasting the delicious substance, the steward was pleasantly surprised to discover, now just, I want you to hear this, that he discovered that the ordinary water had become such fine wine. And after you have patiently poured something into your pot in your life experience, then patiently draw something out. See, many people stop their good just before the breaking point. Have you ever heard the story that the guy was 3 feet from digging his oil and he gave up? 3 feet. And he sold the land. And the man who took over the land began to drill and found that they were only 3 feet away from the oil. Are you 3 feet away from your oil, family? Don't give up, no matter what the life experience is saying. Don't get impatient and try to rush forth. Don't get impatient and try to rush it. Turn those water pots, those stony, hard pots in your circumstances upside down by saying your good. Don't turn it. Don't be impatient by saying, where is my good? Know your good is already there. Because when we get impatient, we'll miss our good. Sometimes people fill the pots with their thoughts of abundance, but they don't complete the miracle. They do not draw out the substance because they do not get definite. They have no specific plans, no definite picture of what they really want. They do not use the explicit affirmation, nor do they dare to take precise action in faith. At this point, it is the definite, specific thought, the word or action that will turn the water into wine. Sometimes, family, we ask for things, but we don't take definite action. This is the time when we have to take the action. We pray. We call it forth, and we've been directed on what to do, but then don't do it, family. Come on, family.
You got to knock that fear in the face and go do what you've been instructed to do. You begin to express explicitly in words what you desire. Your words will then begin to bring into your life that which you put into them. You can make yourself a whole new creature. You can rebuild your world, your highest ideas through your definite words of truth. And then follow through on your definite words with specific plans that are acted upon in faith. Now, this is the action part. So many of us do everything up into the action part. Family, let's take action today. Let's don't just get all this good prayer in and all this good words and then don't do nothing. See, the steward of the feast is claimed with delight, thou hast kept the good wine until now. And he was pleasantly surprised by the turn of events, since it was a custom to serve the good wine first. Then as the guests drank fully, a less desirable wine was usually served. But the steward of the feast, when your demonstration comes, you may find that your good wine is being kept until the last. See, the good that comes to you is a result of prayer, inspirational study, affirmation, meditation, and the constructive use of your mind power is always the best, most desirable wine that you can drink. It's so satisfying. Come on, family. Somebody know what I'm talking about. It's so satisfying and doing. You may wonder why the good wine was kept until now. Instead of being available to you early in your life, the longer your good is coming, the greater it'll be. So hold on, family. Hold on. The truth is that the more you see the good come into your life, the more you will see good coming into your life. This is one of my favorite miracles because it reminds me when Jesus performed that water into wine, often that all I have to do is pour forth to the brim of my thoughts words of abundance, speaking it. Do you know our grandmothers and granddaddies used to get up and praise the house? They used to get up 3 and 4 o'clock. And some of y'all may not know what I'm talking about. But some of you all may know. Some of us had those praying grandmamas that got up every morning 3 or 4 o'clock, got in their closet, and then they began to walk over the house and pray over their house and praise over their house and anoint their house with words of abundance. And if you lived in the house with your grandmother and she did that, you nothing but good was coming out of that house. You didn't see shootings and all the stuff because we need those praying kind of mothers again. We need those praying kind of anointing, kind of blessing kind of people again. How many of us getting up in the morning praising and blessing and abundantly anointing our homes like we used to back in the day? 7229 South Morgan family. In the heart of Inglewood, grandmama got up every day, 3 o'clock in the morning, baby. She went in her closet. Then she walked the house. Baby, she walked that house every morning, and you heard her praising. You saw her with her eyes closed, anointing every room, anointing everybody's head, anointing her home, and nothing but good ever came. I don't ever remember nobody ever breaking in. Half the time, granddaddy, grandma would go to bed with their doors unlocked because they filled the house to the brim with abundant words. See, we got to get back to that old family. You see what we got going out here in this community? That lets me know there's no praying people out here like it used to be. That lets me know people don't get up and pray over their community no more. It lets me know ain't nobody praying over their house when people constantly getting breaking in and shoot. Somebody runs into your house, shoot your son over some gym shoes. Come on, family. Where is the praying people at? Where they at, God? Because we got to get back to what we used to do, family. And that's all this really is saying. That's what our grandmamas used to do. Our grandma, people didn't even know they was poor. I talked to kids and didn't even realize, and I was one, but people didn't even understand what it even meant to be poor because we had always had more than enough food. We always had every clothes we needed and more. We had so much fun and all the stuff we needed, but we got to get back to praying, baby. We got to get back to affirming. We got to get back to speaking those words. Now, grandma and them probably didn't even think of it as affirmation, they affirming, because they just got up and did what they know to do, which was to get up and anoint the house before the day started. Breakfast was cooked by the time we got downstairs, and the house had been prayed for, the food had been prayed for. And, baby, we were sitting down watching cartoons, eating our breakfast by the time it was time to get ready for school. We was getting ready to walk out the door, and she praying again. Family, we got to get back to that prayer. Family. See, as we see these steps that Jesus took in the private and prosperity miracle in Canaan, we got to learn how to do that too. And so today, family, I want to pray that your life be filled to the brim today, family. That your life be filled with abundance, family. That you will experience the life that you desire. And so that I want you to declare right now that your good is multiplied. I praise and bless whatever you have, that it will be multiplied to the highest of the height. I praise and bless that your personal dreams will come true in more than you could ever think, ask, and imagine in an Ephesians 3:20 kind of way. I praise and bless the people in your life today, that they will come and stand forth in the highest and best that they are. I praise and bless the circumstances of your life. I praise and bless our financial income and our business affairs today. I bless your health today. I bless the good that you have, and I look at it with wonder, knowing that it comes from the bountiful increase of God in this right now moment. I praise that, God, that your good is so adaptable that you can speak words of abundance, that you can overcome anything that seemingly appears in your life, that you can rejoice in the life that is now filled to the brim with abundant good. That is my message for today, family. Woo! 721, family. Any questions, comments, or concerns before we go? Let's do it, family. Star 6 or 1. I didn't even know we had went that far over. But bless it today, family. You have the power to bless your good today. Your child, your relationships, your money, substance, your business, your body, whatever it is, you have the power. It's time for us to stand in our own miracles today, family, and call it forth. Baby, yeah, I don't know. I just spoke to myself. I'm about to get up in my house. I'm about to praise and bless over my home today. Everything that I touch going to turn to gold today, baby. Everywhere I tread, my feet going to be on gold, baby. I'm going to be walking on gold dust. Family, anybody got anything they want to say before we go? Press the 1 on Blog Talk. All right. Well, I want to remind you today. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Janine, this is Deborah Gary. Hey, Lady Love, thank you for blessing us this morning. I co-signed with everything you said. I know my marriage at the beginning, it seemed like a rocky road, and I was just like, oh, why? And I would just talk to my friends and say, oh, my husband, he's just such an idiot. Oh, he's such a this. He's such a that. Everything I called him, I forgot that I'm married to him, or whatever he's called. He's Mr. Gary, I'm Mrs. Gary. So if I call him Mr. Idiot, then I'm Mrs. Idiot. If I call him stupid, then I must be Mrs. Stupid. And I said, oh, no, I rebuke that. I'm starting to call him Mr. Wonderful. I started calling him Mr. Wonderful years ago, and you know that makes me Mrs. Wonderful. And I often ask myself, Lord, why was it so hard in the beginning? And now my marriage is so wonderful. It's almost like, why did you save the good wine for right now? But I had to speak it into existence, and I thank you. I thank you for confirmation on that. Bless you. Bless your house. Bless you from head to toe. I love you, girl.
I love you too, Deborah Gary. All right. I heard you coming in, Z. Thank you, Deborah Gary.
Wow, I haven't heard Deborah in a long time. Peace and blessings, sister. So good to hear your voice. Wow. Well, she said everything, really. I just want to say thank you. Everything that you said was so inspiring, especially about the praise. You know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and we always would get praise on, and I have really forgotten to do that in my life, just to praise, just to get that praise on. And, of course, that raises the vibratory energy. And so I just want to thank you. When you were talking, girl, I was laying my hands on my knees, and I was praising God for these knees and these beautiful, strong, healthy legs and just everything. Looked at my bank account. So I just thank you so much for giving us the lessons and the blessings that you do, Janine, and just keeping that inspiration going, keeping the fire going within us. Because you were fired up today, girl. So I don't know anybody that didn't feel that energy. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and I love you.
Peace. I love you too, Z. All right.
Peace and blessings. Peace and
blessings. Hey, King in the house.
Hey. I am so blessed. And I just want to thank Deborah Gary for her comments. I want to thank you, Janine, for starting off my new experience right now. It's 6:25 in Arizona, and I'm starting my meditation at the beginning of this month, which is today. And so you set the fire for my burning bush already. So I truly give thanks for you.
Have fun in Arizona.
Thank you so much. I'm on a spiritual retreat here with Reverend Val. So our family do keep me in prayer, because when I come back to Baltimore, I'm expecting my water to be wine.
It's already done.
I say.
Have a good time.
Thank you.
All right. Any more questions, comments, or concerns? All right, family. Well, I'm going to play a motivation. Get us motivated for this morning. And then we're going to hear. You know I got to play some Christmas music. I might play Kim Be Mine one more time, y'all, because you know I love that. Y'all know I love it. All right, we're going to play something about our mindset this morning. Remembering that the answer is us. Every question, the answer is you. Let's hear the best motivation.
I'm telling you, you can make whatever kind of money you want to make. You can have whatever you want to have. You can do whatever you want to do. Like, there are no limitations. And aren't you tired? There's some of y'all out there right now. You're tired. You know, somebody telling you when to come to work. Somebody telling you when to take lunch. Somebody telling you when to do a vacation. Somebody telling you what you can and cannot do. Some of us, we were born to fly. But what I'm telling you is, when you become the right person, what I mean by the right person is, once you identify who you are and you begin to separate yourself from the masses and you begin to see your individuality, when you begin to see your talents, when you begin to see your personal skills, all right, it's like this. If you ever wore a suit from the store before, that's one thing. But if you ever got a suit tailored, are you hearing what I'm saying? If you ever got a tailored suit before, you know that it's different from going to buy a one-size-fits-all suit and then having a suit that's tailor-made. It fit different. The pants are different. The way you walk in it is totally different. Why? Because it's fit to you. And what I'm telling you is, you need to have a tailor-made life. When you were created with a specific purpose, a specific design. I don't care if you was born and, you know, your parents didn't claim you. You still special. I don't care if your mama wasn't in your life, your daddy wasn't in your life. You are still special. When you were created, you were designed to do what nobody else can do. And I'm telling you, when you become the right person, when you become the right person, what you do is you start separating yourself from other people. You begin to have a certain uniqueness. As long as you're following other people, as long as you're being a copycat, you will never ever be the best copycat in the world. But you will be the best you could be. So I'm challenging you. Number one, I'm challenging you to define your value, right? Number two, I challenge you, listen to me. If you want to make more money, if you want to be more successful, if you want to have and do stuff you ain't never done before, number two, I'm asking you to invest in you. That's right. Invest what? Number one, I'm asking you to invest time. I'm asking you to invest time in yourself. Some of y'all, you spend so much time with other people. You spend so much time trying to get people to like you. You spend so much time trying to fit in that you don't even know who you are. You know other people more than you know yourself. You study them. You know about them. You want to hang out like them. You want to be just like them. And you know what? You've invested so much time in them, you don't know who you are. I challenge you to spend time by yourself. I challenge you to check yourself out. There's some young ladies right now, you fine, you pretty, you got it going on. Some brothers, you handsome, you suave, you got swag. But you know what your problem is? You've been in one relationship after another relationship, and you ain't never been in a good relationship because you don't even know you. You spend so much time taking her out. You spend so much time trying to impress him. You spend so much time buying her flowers, taking her out to lunch. You spend so much time calling him. You don't even know who you are. You heard what I said. You've invested so much of your time in being liked by other people, being loved by other people, being appreciated by other people, that you don't even know who you are. And I challenge you to invest time in your own self. I challenge you to get to a place when people don't like you, it don't even bother you no more. Why? Because you're not concerned with trying to make them happy, because you're trying to blow up. You're trying to get to the next level. E.T., I don't like the fact that you do this. I don't care. I'm not living my life for you. I'm living my life for me.
All right, family, you've been tuned in to the Love Journey. They call it a prayer line. I call it an experience, a love experience. And guess what, family? It's Christmas time, my favorite time of the year. Will you be mine for Christmas, Kim?
Play in the snow. I can build a fire, we can break it down like Eskimos. Simply stated, there's no place I'd rather be. It's Christmas time for you and me, girl. Spread love, peace, and joy throughout the world. While every little boy's trying to find something for his favorite girl. Yes, baby, your Santa Claus is on his way. He'll be keeping you satisfied Christmas Day. What can I do to make your dreams come true for Christmas?
For Christmas.
What can I bring to make your heart sing so you'll be mine for Christmas? Have a Merry Christmas, babe. Hey, girl.
There'll be jingle bells for you and me. We'll snuggle by the Christmas tree. A celebration of green and gold. We'll sing along to Nat King Cole. Good tidings to all and to all good cheer. I just want to know my baby's here. Keeping me warm all through the night, yeah. Got an angel by my side. What can I do to make your dreams come true for Christmas? What can I bring to make your heart sing tonight so you will be
anything?
All I want is the joy you bring. I'll give you my heart wrapped up in a fold. La 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 la, all the way we go,
girl. It's Christmas when I'm loving you. Yeah.
What can I do,
hey,
to make your dreams come true?
What can I bring you, girl?
Oh.
I want to make your dreams come true so you'll be mine.
I want to be yours.
Will you be mine, baby?
Yes, be mine.
Oh, for Merry Christmas, girl.
You
make it bad, don't you? I know you do.
You said anything?
Girl, I'd give you anything.
Be mine.
Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey. They call it a prayer line, but I call this an experience, a love experience. Welcome to your love experience. I pray today be the most efficient, beautiful, amazing day for you. Soon tune in tomorrow where we will be in our Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe where we are reading Overcoming, Under-Earning, and our host is Miss Chastity Wells. Yes, see you in the morning, family. Have a great, wonderful, amazing, love-filled, joy-filled day. I see you in the morning, family.